On today's episode, we have a very special guest joining us to talk about some of the Red Wings' European prospects. Today I have with me Patrick Bexell, who's also known as Zeb over at Have Eyes on the Prize, and he is kind of my European prospects expert. Patrick, how are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks.
Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, it's my pleasure. I always enjoy listening to your podcast, so it's great to finally be part of it.
Awesome. Okay, so we're just going to dive right in. So I wanted to get your input and perspective on Axel Holmstrom and Christopher N. So from somebody's perspective that gets to watch them a lot, can you just give me kind of a brief intro into what kind of a player Axel Holmstrom is?
I see, like, Axel has come up quite rapidly, I would say, from a small community in the middle of nowhere, really, in Sweden, and he went to Skellefteå. And I see him more as a finisher, maybe, than compared to Zetterberg, who is driving play. Even if both are centermen, it's more that kind of player I see him as. He reminds me a lot about a Toronto prospect actually playing in Frölunda on the wing, Andreas Johnson. A very similar place on the power play, try to go a little bit more on the right side, I think, in play in general. But yeah, he's more of a sniper than playmaker, but he's very good in both roles. He's taking great steps forward the last year, definitely, with the playoffs he had as well. And I think he's this season is very much more aware in the defensive responsibilities compared to last year. The thing that he can really improve on, and it's according to a podcast with Nyström over at Expressen, a Swedish paper, and Axel agrees with this as well, is that he's physique is not really up to scratch. I mean, he's 19 years old and he's been playing ice hockey a lot, but he hasn't really worked for a ice hockey body in a way. And especially what it comes down to is that his stamina is not up to scratch. He said himself that I used to finish last in all the races that we have that were stamina based in Skellefteå, but now I'm finishing bottom 10. So he sees that as an improvement, and that's what he kind of likes to do. It comes across as he really takes this step-by-step approach, which I think will benefit him a lot in the long run.
I know that he's playing on the power play. Is he also doing, is he doing any penalty kill, or where is he kind of fitting in on this team?
No, he's not. Right now, he's not doing a lot of penalty kill, but if you compare it with another Frölunda prospect, Arthur Lekkonen, that came over to Frölunda last year, and I will mention him more when we talk about Christopher Ehn, is that you get to start a little bit with the power play, especially in Holmstrom's case, and then you make sure that he knows his responsibilities before you even get close to going on the penalty kill, or box play, as we say in Sweden. And it's also like he's talented forward, so why should we use him in the box play and have him run out the stamina that he doesn't have really in a defensive position? But he has really improved for defensive zone starts and stuff like that in Skellefteå this year.
You know, in the NHL, a lot of times you will see even some of the team's best players out there on the penalty kill. We haven't seen it this year or last year, but we used to see like Pavel Datsyuk and Henrik Zetterberg out on the penalty kill for the Red Wings. Is it a different approach in the Swedish leagues?
No, I think it's more the fact that what you have to realize is that we have like older players that has played a lot, and on a box play situation or a penalty kill situation, it's a lot of it is reading the play and reading the game and knowing where to be. And I think that is, you know, a skill you learn as you go through the ranks. And Axel Holmstrom is, if he was to were to stay in Sweden next year, I'm sure he will be on the box play in that situation. But right now, you know, he says himself that he needs to improve his conditioning, and then you should probably not use him over in something as, I wouldn't say simple, but, you know, as defensive responsibility, which might not be his best strength.
So you mentioned that he's taken some big strides between last year and this year. So right now he's 19. Is it common for younger players, like 18, 19-year-olds, to be playing in the elite leagues instead of the junior leagues? And what does it mean that Holmstrom is playing in the elite league?
I think it becomes more and more common, especially from when I grew up like a million years ago. But we lose obviously a lot of players to AHL, NHL and KHL, the other leagues that will draw attention. And even if AHL might not be better than the SHL, it is seen as a stepping stone to the NHL. And so we obviously will lose players there as well. And to replace this, two teams in general has really pushed forward when it comes to juniors playing in the SHL, and that is Skellefteå that started it like 6-7 years ago. And Frölunda went through a really bad patch, spending a lot of money, a little bit like New York Rangers in a way, and getting in bad contracts or players that wasn't as motivated anymore, and decided to take a look at Skellefteå and see what they did right. And in that case, started to develop a lot of youth players the same way as they had like 20 years before. It's fantastic to see that the two strongest team in SHL right now are the ones with fewest imports on the team. It's really like you rather take up a junior, see what they can do, and we import that guy that is, you know, actually brings something to the team rather than just an average guy that can be an irregular guy and take a junior spot, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. I think when I hear that, I liken it to how more NHL teams are relying on drafting and their AHL teams to develop players rather than bringing them in through free agency or whatever the case may be. I mean, that's cool to see, especially from a Red Wings perspective, because the two teams that you just mentioned are two teams that have Red Wings prospects on them.
Yeah, indeed. And I think it's something that, you know, more teams in Sweden see this work. So there are a lot of like young guys getting a few call-ups. I mentioned a few on my posts on Twitter. Is it Veskalainen in Frölunda, who's 16, so he's not even draft eligible this year. It's 2 years from now. There were a couple of players, I've forgotten the name yesterday, that played very well in Linköping, that is also being draft eligible this year. And you see these guys that are amazingly talented, and they get the chance to play against big guys and men from an early age, and it benefits them probably in the long run. It might not be as impressive as netting 1,000 points in a junior league, but on the other hand, it's impressive because they're getting used to a higher pace and a higher skill from an early age.
And that's really encouraging for me to hear, you know, from Red Wings' perspective, to know that the Wings have traditionally had a lot of prospects, that they've drafted a lot of guys from Sweden who come up through those leagues. And so it's interesting and encouraging to hear that those leagues are doing a better job of developing, because that benefits us and the NHL in general in the long run.
Yeah, it definitely does. And as I said, I posted this article, is it 2 weeks ago, where I pointed out like the feeder system of SHL to NHL. And maybe that it should be considered that you want to keep the players in SHL for a longer time, because they do, or it seems like some of them are actually developing better in SHL when they get to play longer minutes and a bit against better opposition, maybe, than third line minutes in AHL, where they will not be able to perform up to their own expectations, their fans' expectations, and maybe even the NHL team's expectation.
And I know, you know, with Axel Holmström, so he's 19 right now, and we've talked a bit in the past about, you know, he finally now has 2 goals. He went, I think it was 16 games this season without having a goal. But then when I pull up the SHL stats and I look at scoring for junior players who are playing in the SHL, he's second in points with 12 among junior players. So that kind of puts it into a little bit different perspective when you look at, you know, a 19-year-old kid who's in the SHL with a lot of older, more experienced, you know, quote-unquote better players.
Indeed, and you have to also realize that even if Holmström plays third-line center, but he is playing it at one of the absolute top teams in Sweden. They're like 10 points clear from the third-place team, Frölunda and Skellefteå. And Skellefteå is the modern powerhouse of Swedish ice hockey. They've been in 5 finals the last 5 years, and they won 2 championships. It's not like a general third-line average center. You know, a third-line center in NHL would be get a lot of interest from other teams all over the NHL with a result like that. I think, like, when you look at Holmström, you also have to remind yourself that he's very young, and I think that the way he handled adversity this year, in regards to obviously having been scouted a lot during summer, and that's probably what drove his goal production down at the start of the season, that he handled it with, you know, humor, and he never stepped down from any questions being asked about it. He was very straightforward with TV interviews and said, "I'm doing my best," and he really was doing his best. I think at one point, even, you know, fans from opposing teams was like, "Can I just go down there and tell him, you know, he's doing good?" Because he was doing very, very well. And I think obviously a lot of teams had scouted him after that fantastic playoff run he had, and that's really what caused a dip in production at the start of the season, or dip in goals, maybe not production, because he still has, as you said, produced quite a lot.
Yeah, that was one thing that definitely struck me when talking to him when he came to Traverse City for the Red Wings development camp is he seems to have a level of maturity that you don't always see in guys his age. And then, as you mentioned, you know, he chooses to work through the tough times with humor, which, I mean, I think is a fantastic trait. It also makes him just incredibly likable, and you want to root for him.
Yeah, as I said, like, these are the kind of players that we all want, you know, not the media-trained ones in some ways. We want to have a character, even if it's on an opposing team, because we're all hockey fans in a big way, and we appreciate good hockey players, and we appreciate characters that are good characters and show good values that are worth following and held up to people as good guys.
Tell me a little bit about Christopher N. When you watch him play, what do you see from him?
I see him as he isn't a star as Lekkonen was when he came over last year, but they're following the same path in a way. You get brought up, and especially with former under-20 national coach Roger Rönnberg, that he wants to drive play and really take the game to the other team, but it also puts someone that has to be defensive responsible, at the point. And in this case, where Lekkonen was last year with Janmark and Frigren and had to take that responsibility, it seems like Anne is getting that responsibility this year with Lekkonen and Frigren instead. And so far, I thought about it when you sent the question over yesterday, that I remember some very, very good defensive play from Anne, but I can't really remember a place where he's been out of position or caused something negative to happen. And I think he's really this, boring Swedish centerman, you know, like he is so good at his defensive work. So you, in a way, you don't realize that he's out there because he just gets the job done. And he's 18, right? And
I think he just turned 19.
Okay. For a young guy, again, to be that, have that mindset and really push to make that kind of impact and dedication to not just go on the rush all the time, is for me something that stands out for as a determination and as a drive to really succeed. Because Sweden used to be really crap in ice, or not really crap, but we used to be a mid team in ice hockey national wise, and our chance was to play the defensive game and maybe win a game with a goal or so. Not to the extreme that the Czech Republic was known for, you know, their counterattacks is fast as lightning, but Sweden used to do this, and we're still making players in the same mold. But to see these young guys really take that to heart, I think it's encouraging. I remember this play with Ian where he just went up to a guy that was coming into the zone and just took the puck off him like it was nothing there. He just stole the puck and went on attacking the other way. And he is that kind of player. You don't recognize when he's out there, but you miss him when he's not. That makes sense?
It does. And looking at his stats, he's played 12 games and he has 2 assists, averaging 6 minutes and 30 seconds time on ice per game, which isn't a lot. And I think from my understanding of what you told me is he was previously playing more of a fourth line, fewer minutes, but that's increased a little bit in the last few games. Is that correct?
Yeah, it has. But he is still not on the power play or the penalty kill, so he's out of the special teams. And that's where the clock really runs amok and where you can, you know, obviously set up more points in general.
And is he not playing special teams primarily because of the depth on the team?
I would say definitely the depth. I mean, like the Frölunda team as the Skellefteå team is silly with depth. I mean, they're 2 stacked teams, definitely. It wouldn't surprise me that at the end of the season, if he continues to play, that he will get more responsibilities on the penalty kill rather than the power play. Obviously, that would free up more people to take an active part on the power play instead and save their energy for that. And I can see him do this, and that would be the natural succession for him to go for.
One of the challenges when we're evaluating prospects is that the leagues aren't equal. There are so many differences that sometimes, you know, you pull up like a player's production and it's hard to know how that lines up to maybe a young player who's playing in the OHL or the WHL, for example. What do you see as the biggest differences between those two leagues, and kind of how can we reconcile comparing, say, an Axel Holmström who's playing in Sweden to one of the prospects who's playing in the Canadian Hockey League?
I think Volman is it on Twitter that does the Hockey Bible or something similar. And he asks a sort of correlation about like how the leagues rank up. You know, obviously it's not perfect, but at least it's an average of the players that has gone from different leagues. And I think that's a good approach. Obviously, there will be outliers performing better or worse. I think Panarin right now he's still a point per game, which according to his KHL stats shouldn't be with the Volman factors. But obviously, he's an exceptional talent. He's also 24 and played in Europe for a long time on one of the best teams in Europe, I would say, in SKA St. Petersburg.
In the CHL, kids score a ridiculous number of goals. And then you pull up stats for the SHL and you don't see that level of scoring. And so if you don't take into consideration in the SHL, they're not playing against kids. They're playing against experienced players and goalies, which reduces the offense sometimes. But there's that extra level of development that's also taking place.
Indeed. And I think what you really hit the head of the nail with your hammer when you talk about goalies, because we all know that goalies takes longer to develop and mature. And suddenly these guys in any European league, I would say, are not playing a junior goalie. There is a very good junior goalie now up for the draft. He's played the last couple of games in Luleå, and he's a guy to keep an eye on. But anyway, I mean, like, you're literally playing, you know, a 30-year-old goalie with a lot of experience, and it's not his first trip to the rodeo. You're not going to be able to put up the same amount of points. And I think the Volman factors is, you know, you might not agree with the adjustment. And as I said, there will always be outliers, and your results will always be a little bit, you know, not what you expected. And then you try to second guess it that way. So I think that you have to consider this when you talk about European leagues. And obviously there is an internal ranking of the European leagues as well. It's another article I wrote for Habsize on the Price, and where I really took a long look at it. I tried to use the newly developed Champions Hockey League as a reference to rank the different leagues. And the surprising fact was that the Norwegian League was, you know, if you looked at points per games by teams in the competition, the Norwegian League came out fourth, ahead of Czech League and the Austrian League and the German League that we would think are better leagues in a way. And obviously I know the Norwegians are really driving to improve their hockey, and they use this as a chance to get some extra media attention, which I think is a very smart way of doing it. But obviously the Norwegian league is not the fourth best league in Europe, I think. But it gives you a view, and it challenges your thinking, and I think that is the most important thing. You need to, you know, Czech Republic has a great national team, but their league is not that good.
Janmark was one of the players that I always, like when he was playing in Sweden, was kind of one of the guys that I kept my eye on. I'm like, this kid's pretty good. And then I kept thinking, well, maybe this year he'll come over and, you know, like start out in the AHL. Well, maybe this year. And he never did. And I started to wonder if he was ever going to come over. And then, of course, he did after the Wings traded him to Dallas.
The problem was that there were no contingency plan for Frölunda when he left. I mean, like when he went over to Dallas, they posted a picture of him practicing in a cowboy hat on the last practice of Frölunda, going like, "Hi, John Mark is going to Dallas," you know, like, and everyone was sort of expecting him to come back.
I got the impression that he didn't know, like he was kind of uncertain if he was going to come over, and that would make me believe that, you know, if his team didn't even know.
I think the deal was, and I think this is a deal which should really, I mean, like it's mentioned in the SHL article actually a little bit, but we hold up Jarmark as a very good example in this case, how we wanted to progress from a European perspective in general, I think, and a Swedish in particular. The deal between Frölunda and Dallas was actually that if he didn't make the team, he would go back to SHL. He wouldn't go to AHL. He would go back to SHL. And I think that is the contingency plan that, you know, Frölunda wasn't really prepared for, or anyone wasn't really prepared for, that, you know, he might actually take a spot. And everyone was like, he's taking the spot next year, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was expecting.
And then he went there. He got the spot. There was a really funny interview with him where he was like, "I drafted Sagan in my fantasy team, and I have to go over to tell him to start scoring now." Which is, you know, like, that's a brilliant quote. And you go like, God, I love this kid.
Yeah, I understand why the Wings made that trade. You know, we were kind of in a spot where we needed to bring Eric Cole in. But I think of all the prospects that we've traded away, Janmark was the one where I kind of wish that we would have been in a position to be able to keep him and have him play for the Wings, because I always liked watching him.
On the other hand, you guys are stuck down the middle anyway, aren't you?
Yeah, we are. It's a good problem to have, but at the same time, you know, like I'm watching, you know, Andreas Athanasiou, who's like, I love this kid. He's just so exciting to watch. And he can play in the NHL. He played well while he was up at the Wings, but he got sent back to the A just because there isn't room.
Yeah, exactly. And I think in this case, you know, like, and I was actually wondering if I should write about that in a way, like, why don't you send like these guys over to SHL then? You know, like in Dallas' case, they must have another young talent playing in the AHL. Janmark is, if he gets sent down, he's going to be the first one to get sent up and picked up again, right? So that guy is suddenly on the third line in a sense in NHL. He will probably, you know, go over to an SHL team and play second or first round minute or first line minutes, and that would probably benefit him more in the long run.
Probably the contingency would have to be, you know, if you, at least with sending them down and having them in the AHL, if you get in a pinch or somebody gets injured and you need to call players up, it's a lot easier to do.
Yeah, I get that. Like, how many covers do you need, you know? Do you need four for that one position that might happen twice a year?
Yeah, I guess that all depends on, I mean, probably every GM has a different
yeah, I think it's also an old school GM thing. We're in the US, we should have all our, or we're in North America, we should have all our prospects over here. I get that. And I think it will change over time. You know, by the time you and I are old and gray and we sit there and have a good beer together somewhere nice, hot and warm, you know, it's, then we'll say, look, the kids are all over the world right now.
Thank you so much for joining me, Patrick. This was definitely a learning experience and some great information. If you guys want to read any of the great stuff that Patrick writes, it's over at Habs Eyes on the Prize. And Patrick, if people want to give you a follow on Twitter and keep up with all of your great information, now where can they find you?
I'll be at Habs Eyes on the Prize, normally under the synonym of Zeb. And my Twitter handle is Zeb_Habs. I tend to write a little bit more of a European perspective. And I mentioned two articles that are more like league-wide articles to read rather than the articles that are focusing purely on Montreal Canadiens.
All right. Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.